This is Real Talk, the Customer Insights Show with Jen Vogel, a top-rated live stream and podcast in the market research and insights industry. We stream live on LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, and you can listen on all major podcast channels. Join Jen and her guests for a weekly discussion around topics that will help you understand your customers better. Real Talk is presented to you by Vox PopMe, the leader in video research and ranked number one in qualitative research by Grit 2 years running. Here's today's conversation.
Hello, insights professionals, marketers, and everyone who wants to understand their customers better. I'm your host, Jen Vogel. We're seeing headlines of a recession, mass layoffs, changing consumer trends. It's all very scary stuff, but how can companies weather a recession and move forward successfully? I'm joined by Will Wu, Managing Partner, High Tech and Software at West Monroe, the digital services firm, national digital services firm, to discuss that topic. Welcome to the show, Will.
Thanks, Jen. Pleasure to be here.
Happy to have you. You know, I just last week had the pleasure of being with some people in the industry and the topic of recession came up and somebody commented, you know, it doesn't feel like we're in a recession, which I don't think is the measure that we use for whether or not we're in a recession, but I think this is the right time to have this conversation.
Yeah, it definitely feels different than prior recessions, but, you know, just from a variety of different reasons. The biggest one being that, you know, employment is still really high right now, although, you know, certainly if you view it from a market standpoint and interest rates and everything that's going on there, you know, firms are and consumers are definitely feeling, you know, the impact of inflation, but also, you know, the impact of the valuations of their own portfolios. So.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what this person who I was talking to said. Employment is so high still. And, you know, I think that is the confusion that maybe a lot of people are in, like, hey, it doesn't actually feel like a recession, but we're going to dig into that today.
Awesome.
So, I mean, you've written before about recession-proofing businesses. You know, how are you seeing companies struggle with this, you know, whether prior recessions or now?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a few things that we've seen, you know, over the last 10, 15 years, particularly with high tech and software companies, they've really been built for growth. You know, there's an industry benchmark that a lot of investors and firms have used for a long time called the Rule of 40, which really looks at balancing, striking a good balance between growth and profitability. But growth has been so heavily emphasized over that, you know, that time period that I'm referring to, that companies really have to start thinking about, you know, are they culturally aligned? You know, have they built themselves to shift from that growth mindset to establish a better balance of profitability? Do they have the right systems and reporting that have, you know, give them the indicators to allow for more governance and really kind of again, like I said, not turn off the growth engine, but balance it against driving more profitable growth.
That's a challenge when growth mindset is built into the culture of the company.
Absolutely. You've recruited people, you've invested in them, you've, you know, set this, you know, had this path of invest and grow and grow, and to temper that, you know, offers challenges and It's tough for everybody to kind of shift that mindset.
Totally. And you mentioned, you know, that there's, you know, different infrastructure in the business that you have to be thinking about. Like, what are some of the, like, tactical, I guess, shifts that people need to be making in their, just in how they're approaching their business or their strategy? Like, what numbers are they looking at differently? Or what areas of the business should they be focused on that maybe they wouldn't be when they're more in that sort of rapid growth trajectory?
Yeah, you know, I think some of the core KPIs around you know, net revenue retention and some of the revenue numbers are always going to be there from a top level, but it's really digging down into kind of more granular details when you sort of peel back the layers of you know, of your revenue analysis. And there's a term out there, organizations are building even functions around what's called revenue optimization, So it's really getting a better handle of all the different aspects of how you're, taking products to market, how quickly you can introduce them, how quickly you can build all of the, supporting capabilities, whether that's from licensing, contracting, go-to-market motions, you have the right sales teams, coverage models, to really accelerate that, but also do it in a way that to grow at scale. Are you growing your revenue faster than you're growing the cost to deliver that, whether that's from a sales or a service standpoint? Those are the details that, a lot of firms are starting to really have to think through. Do they have the right measurements at those very granular levels to take friction out of the overall system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody is worrying that you're going to say the word EBITDA. I should say I'm worrying. Yes, it's all that stuff. I guess what are some of the proven strategies, now that obviously we're talking about KPIs and what sort of things to focus on and look at, but what are some of the strategies that you see successful companies putting in place to help them really recession proof or get through these tougher times?
Yeah, the revenue optimization, RevOps, that I talked about certainly is one kind of core aspect of, taking friction out of the system. And I think one of the things that every company wants to continue to do, even in a down market or a recession, is still invest in and grow and still be able to drive some level of growth. We're looking at a lot of companies who are successfully deploying tactics around product-led growth, really letting their, designing within their own products the ability to create this flywheel effect without having to engage customers in kind of the traditional sales motions. And this is meeting customers largely where they want to be in terms of how their expectations have shifted, how their buying patterns have shifted over the last 2 years, where, everything had to move digital. You had to be able to, fast food chains had to be able to figure out how to, go from 98% of their revenue coming from, the drive-through window to figuring out how to be able to allow for customers to order and to deliver and to pick up in a contactless environment. So, the last 2 years have driven a lot of changes. The last couple of years of the pandemic have driven a lot of changes. And that's, in a lot of ways, a good thing in terms of being able to, drive companies to focus on that digital engagement.
For sure. It seems like the more technology we have, the more connected we are, the less we actually want to communicate with each other. Just let me do it by myself. I just want to order it on my phone and have it appear. But it's true, product-led growth, this is a huge, there's been a huge surge over the last couple of years. It's actually the topic of our podcast episode next week. So if you're interested in us talking more about product-led growth, that is the topic next week with Wes Bush. So, but yeah, that's a huge one for sure. And I think it's really tough for, companies that are kind of emerging as product-led growth, that's where they started. They're having an easier time. Companies that are having to layer that arm onto their business, especially very well-established businesses, I think it's a lot harder. It's harder to make that shift when you have a very kind of high-touch organization to then be shifting to this product-led growth engine. Have you seen that done? Who do you think has done that really successfully?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think as you look at those who have been really successful, you've got your examples of Zoom and others who benefited certainly from the pandemic and not having other options. But having, features and capabilities that are built in that don't require a high touch from a consumer standpoint to understand them and to adopt them. Those are the things that we're seeing now with a lot of established software companies who are trying to rethink how to build that in and how to understand user behavior early on in terms of adoption and usage that helps them even predict which customers are likely to expand their usage of the product and what features they're looking at expanding so that you can feed that data back into your marketing channels and your existing sales teams. So, it doesn't mean a overnight shift completely, but enabling your existing teams to be more productive, be more efficient, have more kind of data and insights at hand to be able to gradually move in that direction.
Yeah, totally. That makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned also about, which seems, I think this is the area maybe where companies struggle is invest, continue to invest and continue to grow. You know, there's a lot of fear when we talk about recession, when we talk about any kind of economic downturn. It's like, stop spending the money on marketing, cut all the marketing costs, or cut all the these costs or whatever, like to kind of protect, but really investing in the right areas is the better strategy. Like, how do you talk to people about, you know, who are maybe thinking, oh, I should just actually stop spending for a bit?
Yeah, it's a tough challenge. That is the knee-jerk reaction, historically, to just turn off, different cost centers and areas of spend. But talent is really still really important to invest in, and investing in the right areas. That's a hard one to just turn off and on. So, understanding how to most effectively or where to most effectively invest and use talent is also an important, important decision that companies are making. Whether do we have the right people from an onshore perspective doing the right value-added tasks versus what we may be able to move offshore to third parties or even to leverage automation. There's a lot more tools and capabilities available now to automate tasks that historically are more aligned to that and don't require as much in human intervention. But the last 2 years definitely drove a lot of this emphasis on digital and digital engagement and customer expectations. So, investing in that is still critical. Investing in the experience that your customers are looking for, and that's requiring investment again in the product, but also in the way that you engage with them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think too, I mean, the companies that seem to come out of recessions ahead are the ones that are investing in brand, right? Throughout, like maybe it's tougher to get the business in during that time, or, you know, there's certain areas where you can pull back and still achieve the same numbers. Like you said, that revenue optimization is really key there. Like, you know, maybe when you're not in a recession, you can afford to spend money on lesser performing channels. Well, cut those out, you know, and invest more heavily in the ones that have a higher conversion rate or whatever your metrics are that you're looking at. But certainly, like maintaining a level, like you talked about the digital experience for customer, like, you know, making sure that once you come out of this, you're on top. People are have a positive experience all along. They still know who you are. Those are the areas that are harder maybe to measure a bit, but really make a difference on the other side of this.
Yeah, these are things that are important whether you're in a recession or a bull market and a growth market. Sort of view it as like a healthy lifestyle, eating right and exercising that can benefit you whether things are great or times are a little bit leaner, and then that positions in the boom times to be even stronger.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good analogy. And then back to what you're saying about like optimizing talent, like that's a really interesting way to think about things too, because I mean the anyone who's hired for any position in the last year knows how crazy the job market has been. It's like, you know, very expensive. And then now there's nobody on the market. Now there's a ton of people on the market. Like, it's just been such a roller coaster over the last year. So, you know, we're definitely having to rethink our hiring practices. And so it's interesting what you say about, you know, what needs to be onshore, offshore, or outsourced, or automated. And that sounds like a whole other episode that we could probably dig into all
that. Yeah, we could definitely spend a whole other episode on that.
Totally. So what are those the sort of like practices? It's like just thinking about those other sources, or what are some other ways that people are optimizing talent?
Well, you know, we've talked about the customer experience, but the employee experience is also, you know, really important as we think about, you know, who does provide a lot of the experiences that your customers go through. And how do you kind of protect and preserve the talent that you have now? And it's a, you know, we started off this conversation talking about how, you know, unemployment is still low, and you know, there are options for your talent to, you know, to look elsewhere. You know, as we're also coming out of, you know, the unprecedented period of time where the employee experience shifted more than, you know, any of us probably ever thought would happen. We have to continue to think through what the experiences that our employees want to have as they engage, you know, as they're part of our businesses.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of companies who I think are doing this really well, and others maybe less so. I've heard so many stories around the industry, or, you know, not so much in the insights, but, you know, amongst friends and business networking, where companies are sending out surveys. Hey, how would you like to think about return to work, or, you know, things like that? Oh, I'd really like flexibility. And they're like, great, 4 days in the office. You know, thanks for your opinion, right? Like, not really taking that into consideration. And that can be really damaging to the customer experience, which is maybe not something leadership teams are thinking about. I guess the ones that are doing things like that, you know, some people, like I said, are doing it really well.
Sure. Sure. I mean, work-life balance and employee well-being is such an important topic. At the same time, we've talked about, you know, in a recession, needing to drive more efficiency and productivity. So it's a really, you know, it's a challenge. It's a challenging balancing act between, you know, are your employees more productive in person in the office, or can they be more productive with saving the commute time? I think there's a real important kind of conversation and decisions to be made around that.
Sure. Yeah. It's so different every business, right? There's definitely companies that have been more remote beforehand and are adapting maybe better to that level of flexibility, and others that really require a person to be to be there. And so there's no one size fits all, which is always the hardest part.
And we found that there, you know, particularly in our business, which is such a, you know, a people centric business, a lot of people want to be back together, particularly our newer employees who may just be, you know, coming to us from their first job out of school, looking to, you know, build those relationships. And the intangible aspects of those are, you know, can't be forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely. And so thinking about employee experience, cost cutting, KPIs, all of these different kind of strategies that we're thinking about in terms of getting through the recession, how do they actually impact the customer experience?
You know, they all come together from that standpoint. I think, you know, we do, particularly in the high tech and software industry that I'm focused on, you know, that the change in buying behavior, change in customer expectations, you know, where you see so many more options and choices available, you know, to a customer. I think from an individual consumer basis, I saw a statistic that, you know, this is different than enterprise software, but, you know, most people will download an app and abandon it after the first, I think it was 80% will abandon that app after their first time with it. You know, the options available from, you know, streaming content, there's so many more available than there were before. So understanding that customer experience is still probably the most important thing that organizations need to do. How, what they want from a product standpoint, what value they're gaining out of it, and how they want to engage, all things that are, even more important than ever.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like maybe once a year we say like c the customer experience is more important than it's ever been. Like, it's not going the other direction. It just
Well, I don't
continues.
think it'll ever go the other direction.
No, it just continues to be more and more of a focus and more of a priority as it should be. But I do feel like it comes up a lot. It's like it's more important now than ever, like at the start of a lockdown and pandemic, and then start to come out. It's more important than ever to understand what consumers and customers want. Like, it's just that continues to be the number one thing that we need to be thinking about. And again, there's companies and people out there who are doing a really good job with this, and others who maybe are still a little behind.
I think the ones that are probably, as you say, more ahead of the curve are the ones that are measuring the customer experience differently, using more data, more analytics to be more predictive, as opposed to the reactive kind of survey based or thinking about, oh, I have an upset customer here. I've seen a service ticket or something come up. I need to jump on that. That's where I think a lot of opportunities still exist for organizations to think about transactional buying behaviors that help kind of predict where they need to go, as opposed to kind of reacting, like I said.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. Like predicting those trouble areas or whatever, fixing them before the customer experiences it. It's really that's the magic. And I'm thinking too about, I want to ask you about your focus on high tech and, just the like how should companies be thinking about their internal tech stacks? Even going back to like budgeting and oh, I'm going to be asked to cut my budget in some areas or whatever. How should companies be thinking about the software that they're using in this context of like, oh my gosh, I need to cut something. Like, what's renewing next, right? Or what are some ways that you would think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, we have the opportunity from a organizational standpoint to apply the same kind of buying behaviors, right? There are more options available, and having a better understanding of how our own organizations are using technology, and are we getting the most out of the investments. There's lots of opportunities there to optimize, make sure we're leveraging not just the best technology, but the best fit. And also, when I say that, in terms of using and taking advantage of the features, and also now the potentially even some differences in licensing models, as you think about. We shifted to subscription models, years ago. Now, we can think about things like consumption-based models, and force, companies, and or not just force companies, but many software companies are thinking about consumption-based models, and that kind of really fits, from a standpoint of only buy what you're using.
Interesting, for sure. And so when companies are making decisions on making the whatever changes they're making, internal, external, what role does actually talking to customers play in making some of those decisions?
Yeah, like we just talked about, I think the customer experience is never going, the importance of understanding the customer experience is never going to go away. It just will continue to evolve in terms of how you can understand that customer behavior. But we all serve our customers. That is why it won't go away. So continuing to understand and segment, and not every customer. So we focused a lot on kind of digital and self-service, but not every customer, wants that experience at, every point in their journey. So there are still times when it's important to, understand and segment your customers and know what are those, moments that matter for them. And if that moment requires more of a white glove, then that's still an important, important investment to make too.
That's such an important distinction that, and I think a big challenge for companies that, like, not every customer wants the same experience. Like, I think it was one of the very first episodes of this podcast that we ever did. We talked to someone named James Dogkins, and he described, like, if you and I both go to McDonald's together and have the same meal, we order the same stuff, we have the, like, what makes it so that I rated a five and you rated a three? Like, you are looking for something different out of that experience than I am. And, like, nothing that the actual experience is can impact that. And that is a real challenge for being able to segment, understand those different types of customers that you have and serve them differently. It just adds a layer of complexity. Like, human beings are complex anyways. And maybe one day I have the same experience, it's a five, and another day it's a one. I'm same person. But yeah, that's a big challenge, to try to tailor and personalize the experience for the people in the way that they want to be served.
Yeah, personalization is really important. I'm glad you brought that up. That can, that but that can also manifest itself again in different ways. But being able to drive that personalization, I mean, I think that's what really takes your experience from a three to a five. When you're, buying the same thing, feeling like that it's been, tailored, the expense has been tailored to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard. That's a big challenge for customers, and I think that choice, like, and personalization is really, again, not, none of this is easy stuff, but it's if you're thinking about that sort of thing, and also I think when you're thinking about all the decisions that you're making and the changes that you might be making, like, as you mentioned about, oh, you've got some, like, negative feedback or a support ticket or somebody's having a problem, like, that's where you can really validate, did we do this right? Do we make the right decision? We made a change here, and now all of a sudden we're seeing this happen on the back end. Can be a really helpful way to validate with your customers, hey, we're improving the experience, or we did something. We need to take it back quickly, right? Which I think a lot of we all do, right? And that's the advantage of kind of being able to iterate very quickly and make changes very quickly nowadays.
And even using, some of those examples, things that you thought, may have required more of a, survey-based or interview-based understanding of the customers. You're the tools available from a natural language processing standpoint to comb through large volumes of data and, drive that back into, how you're designing the experience and how you're designing the product. Lots more opportunity there to be, more agile and iterative and, out front of the experience than ever before.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's so many different ways to capture data in that, the sort of more passive ways to be able to see what people are saying, see what they're talking about, see how they're responding, and layering in then the survey data, the interviews, like, it's all now bringing all that stuff together to validate that all, customer experience is more important than ever. Totally. Awesome. Well, this has been really great. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking to us about very exciting recession topic. But I think it's important. No, we never want to talk about it, but it's really important, and I appreciate your time.
Well, let's hope it's a short and minor one. I think we would all love to see that happen, but
That's
appreciate you inviting me to the conversation.
absolutely. That sounds like a good plan to me. I'm into that. Well, thanks everyone for listening in. On the next episode, we're talking with Teresa Torres, author of Continuous Discovery Habits. And as mentioned, Wes Bush will be on another episode later in the week to talk about product-led growth. We will see you then.
Thank you.